Emily Windsnap and the Castle in the Mist by Liz Kessler, read by Finty Williams. And if our hands should meet in another dream, we shall build another tower in the sky. From The Prophet by Khalil Gibran. Prologue. It's midnight, and as light as day. A full moon shines down on the ocean, making the waves dance as they skirt the edges of the tiny island, lapping onto jagged rocks and stony beaches. A chariot glides through the sea, tracing a circle around the island. Solid gold and adorned with jewels on every side, the chariot is pulled by dolphins, each decorated with a row of diamonds and pearls along its back and head. Inside the chariot sits the king of all the oceans, Neptune. Grander than ever, a chain of sparkling jewels around his neck, his gold crown glinting above his white hair, his trident by his side, his green eyes shine in the moonlight as he looks across at the island. He is waiting for his bride to appear from the castle that stands above the rocks, half hidden by mist, its dark windows gleaming in the bright night sky. "Go around again," he demands, his voice booming like thunder. His words send ripples bouncing away from the chariot. The dolphins draw another circle around the island. And then she is there, smiling as she steps towards the water's edge, her eyes meeting his, their gaze so fierce it almost brings the space between them to life, a bridge between their two worlds. A small flock of starlings approach the water as she does, circling the air above her head like a feathered crown. Twisting her head to smile up at them, she holds out a hand. Instantly, one of the birds breaks off from the circle and flies down towards her open palm. Hovering almost motionless in the air, it drops something from its claw into her palm, a diamond ring. As the woman closes her hand around the ring, the starling rejoins the other birds and they fly away into the night, slinking across the sky like a giant writhing snake. I give you this diamond to represent my love, as great as the earth itself, as firm as the ground on which I stand. The woman flicks back shiny black hair as she reaches out towards the chariot to place a ring on Neptune's finger. A twist of the trident and a dolphin swims forwards. As it bows down to Neptune, it reveals a pearl ring, perfectly balanced on its brow. Neptune takes the ring. Holding it out in his palm, he speaks softly, "And with this pearl, I offer you the sea, my world, as boundless and everlasting as my love for you." He slides the ring onto her finger. This is a most enchanted moment. A full moon at midnight on the spring equinox. This will not happen for another 500 years. It is almost as rare as our love. She smiles up at him, her white dress wet at the bottom where she stands in the sea by his chariot. Holding his trident in the air, Neptune continues, "These rings may only ever be worn by two folk in love, one from the sea, one from land, or by a child of such a pair. As long as they are so worn, no one can remove them." "No one can even touch them," the woman says, smiling. Neptune laughs. "No one may even touch them," he says. Then he holds his other hand up, palm facing the woman. She does the same, and their arms form an arch, the rings touching as they clasp hands. 100 stars crackle in the sky above them, bursting into colour like fireworks. "When the rings touch like this," Neptune continues, "they will undo any act born of hatred or anger. Only love shall reign." "Only love," she repeats. Then he spreads his arms out in front of him. "At this moment, night and day are equal, and now so too are earth and sea. For as long as we wear these rings, the symbols of our marriage, there will always be peace and harmony between the two worlds. With a final wave of his trident, Neptune holds out a hand to help the woman into the chariot. Hand in hand, they sit close together, her long dress flowing from one side of the chariot, his jewel-encrusted tail lying over the other side. The dolphins lift the reins, and the chariot glides silently off, taking its royal owners away to begin their married life together. Chapter 1 "Emily, I won't tell you again!" I opened an eye to see Mum pulling back the curtain across the porthole in my bedroom. Outside, an oval moon hung low in a navy sky. Fourth quarter, I thought automatically. We'd been learning about the moon's cycle at school. "It's still night," I complained as I pulled the quilt over my face and snuggled back into my pillow. "It's 7:30, Mum replied, perching on the edge of my bed. She folded the quilt back and kissed my forehead. "Come on, sweet pea," she said. "You'll be late for school." As she got up, she added under her breath, "Not that you'd miss much if you were. They haven't exactly taught you anything useful at that place so far." She'd left the room before I had a chance to reply. I let out a heavy sigh as I lay in bed, looking up at the ceiling. Mum seemed to be really down lately. That was the third time she'd grumbled about something in the last week. Personally, I couldn't see what there was to complain about. We were living on a beautiful secret island, Mum, Dad and me, all together on an elegant old wooden ship, half sunk in the golden sand and sparkling water that surrounded the whole island. Merfolk and humans together in peace. I realise that last bit isn't necessarily a requirement in everyone's ideal living situation, but it comes in handy when your mum's a human, your dad's a merman, and you're half and half. I pulled on my swimming costume and joined Mum at the breakfast table. As with everything else in our home, the table lay on a slant, so I held onto my cereal bowl as I ate. Dad swam up to the trapdoor next to my seat and pulled himself up to kiss me on the cheek. "Morning, my little starfish," he said with a smile. "Ready for your ocean studies test?" "Test me," I said. Dad scratched his head. "How big can a giant Japanese spider crab grow?"
3 meters, I said instantly.
"Very good. What colour is a banded butterfly fish?"
"Black and silver. Too easy."
"Too pointless, more like," Mum said under her breath. What was wrong with her? Dad turned to her with a frown. "Not again," he sighed. "What is the matter with you? Don't you want our daughter to do well at school?" "I'm sorry," she said, reaching down for Dad's hand. "It's just..."
"What? What is it? She's learning lots, she's enjoying herself, getting good grades. I couldn't be more proud."
Dad winked at me as he talked. I smiled back.
Dad and I hadn't got on all that well when we first came to All Points Island. I mean, we didn't get on badly. It just wasn't easy. I'd spent most of my life without him, and we didn't really know what to talk about or where to start. I didn't know he existed at all till recently. It was only a few months ago I'd even found out about myself, that I became a mermaid when I went in water. It terrified me to begin with. The first time it happened, I didn't know what was going on. It was in a school swimming lesson of all places. But then I got used to it, and I'd sneak out to swim in the sea at night. That's how I met my best friend, Shona. She's a mermaid too, a proper full-time one. She helped me find my dad. Best day of my life, that was, when I sneaked into Neptune's prison and saw him for the first time. I guess it all took a bit of getting used to, but the last few weeks have been brilliant, once all the trouble with the Kraken was sorted. That's the most horrific, fearsome sea monster in the world, and I accidentally woke it up. Since then, Dad and I had been out swimming together every day, exploring the golden seabed around All Points Island, racing against the multicoloured fish that filled every stretch of sea round here, playing tag in among the coral. Dad was officially the best dad in the world.
"That's just it,"
Mum was saying. You couldn't be more proud. And you've every right to feel proud. Yes, Emily's...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?